97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. And in this episode, we might talk about the great indoors. Did you see my text about caves?
Yes.
We got to talk about caves.
Caves. You want to go caving?
It's so cool. 60 degrees all year round. And there's some cool ones, not only in Missouri, but in Illinois. I'll inform you a little bit
later. Yeah, please do. I'm anxious to hear more about that. I've been caving a little bit with the Boy Scouts one time, but that was pretty mild.
I love it. Well, this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory, your gun concierge in De Pere, just off of Manchester and 270, just off 270, about a half a mile. Look for the tennis store. They're in the same plaza as Razorback Armory. This is a great store. It's not a big store. Heck, it's probably, I don't know, as big as this line of studios, which is, you know, not a huge studio, not a huge place, but it's a great place. You can go in, and if you just want to talk Second Amendment, you want to talk about guns and accessories, RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you, right, Jess?
Always.
Always. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. You know, last time I was in there, actually, second to last time I was in there, De Pere police officer standing there just talking to Jesse, just talking. And you have a lot of law enforcement that shop in your store, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We do that, you know, personally, the officers shop with us, and we also do a lot with some different municipalities around us.
Business still on fire for you?
It's good. We're definitely seeing a little bit of a slowdown right now. Kids going back to school, you know, different, you know, your itinerary, you know, every day to day is changing for a lot of people as, you know, schools are getting back in, you know, sports are starting back up for their kids, so we kind of see that little bit of a slowdown for that.
You know, Jesse, you know what I think? Mark Cox here. I think we need a little more stimulus. We can get the government to send us another check, then people can just sign it over to you.
I like that. Unfortunately, I understand that we're going to have to pay that back.
Oh, man, what a wet blanket this guy is. I'm just kidding. No, yeah, I know what you mean. I know a lot of people, though, that were happy to get their check and go out and buy a new toy with it.
So we were building stimulus funds left and right.
I'll bet you were. You know, my experience has been watching this as an observer because, of course, like every Second Amendment enthusiast and somebody who enjoys the shooting sports, I must have given my email to every company in America, which is constantly sending me solicitations when they get this kind of ammo in or that kind of ammo in. And boy, I mean, the prices have gone up. But it my impression right now is it's easier to get ammo than it was 6 months ago. What are you seeing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's starting to fill back in. Remington came back online after they got bought out of bankruptcy. So they were a huge provider into the marketplace. So ammo is more readily available. Specific ammo, though, if somebody comes in looking for a specific brand and a specific grain weight, that's still hard. But we're definitely seeing it fill back in. Now this new deal with steel-cased ammo no longer being imported from Russia will start to really take effect here. Well, pretty much now on. Well, we've already sold out of everything that we had that was Russian steel-cased.
Yeah, we should probably maybe explain that to people a little better. Mm-hmm. I covered it on my show this week during my 2A Tuesday segment. But effectively, the Biden administration, in an attempt to get back at Russia, put some new regulations on the importation of things from certain companies. And one thing it's going to impact is like this Tool Ammo, I think, is one of the brands, mm-hmm. and some of this other ammunition that we've used to bolster the amount of ammunition available here in the U.S. during this drought, so to speak. In the future, I mean, maybe not this week or next week, but in the future, that stuff's going to become less available, we expect, right?
Yes. If it was approved and it's already inbound, because they have to approve ammo shipments coming into the country, if it's approved and it's already inbound, it's still going to make it. Unfortunately, because everything's like a commodity, the price on all that ammo is going to go through the roof. Anything else that would need to be approved to come in is now blanket denial. And this is so any steel-cased ammo from like Tula, Brown Bear, Silver Bear, pretty much anything made in Russia. And it's a sizable part of the ammunition marketplace. there's some guys floating some numbers out that 30 to 40% of it.
Wow.
And we don't, in the United States, we don't make a lot of 7.62 by 39. It's always imported steel case and it's less expensive. You know, it's kind of just been the norm forever. That's going to be a big player in that. Because brass, you know, people are used to paying steel case prices. Well, brass case, you know, copper jacketed 7.62 by 39 ammo is expensive. 2 to 3 times what you would pay normally just for a regular steel case.
What other countries, Jess, do we import ammo from around the world?
Well, that's going to be the thing. People are just going to have to shift to, you know, getting it from a manufacturer out of South America or another manufacturer out of Eastern Europe. But the plants there from Tula and all that are in Russia. They've heard talk already that they're talking about moving, just because, and we're the largest consumer of that ammo. I mean, the boxes are written in English. I mean, sure. It's not that they're, you know, it's not what we're just getting Russian ammo. They're really making that for the U.S. marketplace.
And it just, you know, I can't help but to think that it's just a backdoor attempt by the Biden Absolutely. Administration to be able to say no and somehow have an impact on American sportsmen and people who are Second Amendment supporters, because they now have the full authority to reject these, which they will. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Exactly. And this wasn't voted on. This was arbitrarily. They said, hey, you know, we're going to put sanctions on them and stop this importation. And really, yeah, that's who it affects. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, if you're not if you don't own weapons that take steel cased ammo, you probably don't even know this happened.
Right.
So it doesn't affect you at all, but it definitely was a way for them to, you know, directly affect it to a community and obviously in a negative way, you know, and putting sanctions on them is putting sanctions on Americans so they can buy that ammo because we can't get it anymore.
I will tell you, Mark, that I have been ammo shamed, but not by Jesse at Razorback. Oh, listen to him laugh. I did share the story with him. I was ammo shamed because I bought aluminum jacketed ammo, and it's, I guess, mostly meant for target practice, shooting sports. But to me, ammo's ammo. If you've got it, you know, you can shoot it. Well, it could be effective. You don't shame people anymore, do you?
No, there's nothing wrong with it.
It's just dirtier.
It was a little bit dirtier. And the other thing is people will buy that ammo and their guns. So some guns are ammo finicky. That's just the nature of particular mechanism, that gun. Well, when they come to me and they've been shooting, you know, brass case, 9mm, 115 grain, and they went and found a deal on this aluminum case stuff, well, my gun doesn't work. Well, it's not your gun.
Just clean
ammo,
it.
Clean
like
it, that ammo. Yeah, it doesn't like that ammo. But they want to say, well, fix my gun. I can't make your gun work on ammo that doesn't want to feed on. But if your gun eats it and it feeds it and you're happy with it, and yeah, a little bit more frequent cleaning cycle, absolutely.
Unless you've got an AK, which will chew up and spit out just about anything. Yeah,
exactly. You can actually throw dirt in there.
But it's not going to harm a gun, right?
No, those don't. So there's a big, and then this whole steel case thing, there's a lot of people on board saying, oh, that stuff's all crap ammo and you should never shoot it in a good gun. So the steel cased ammo has like a lacquer on the outside of the casing itself. So as you heat up the chamber and you're firing it, some of that stuff can kind of gum up or gunk up the chamber slightly. Okay. Where brass doesn't. Okay. Brass goes in and out, doesn't hurt the chamber. So a lot of people will say you shouldn't shoot that in, let's say, ARs. They make 223 and 5.56 ammo. You're going to gum up your AR. Well, yeah, so you're going to have to clean it. You're going to have to polish the chamber or do something down the road that's going to cause an issue with your firearm if you didn't do it. But as far as pull trigger, go bang, hit target, you know, cycle through and have that, you know, your initial investment in your ammunition be lower by buying the steel cased ammo because it was cheaper. Now it's over that. But there's nothing that you should or shouldn't do it. There's a lot of opinions, but it will work in your firearm. It's kind of like buying a Ferrari and putting the cheapest gas you could get in it. Analogy we usually use. You know, if you're buying a premium weapon, you definitely want to, you know, not buy the top dollar premium ammo, but definitely buy something that's not causing your excessive wear or excessive, you know, fouling to that firearm.
That's great advice.
Same as bad gas in a carburetor, right, Jess?
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you're going to have to clean it.
Yeah, and he's got a background in motorcycles. Let's talk about reloading real quick. Have you seen an increase in people interested in learning how to do that? And if people have been thinking about it or just hearing, wow, that is an option, is there a class you need to take, or can you learn it from YouTube, or what's the steps to do that?
So yes, now we do not sell reloading supplies, and obviously it's from the size of the shop, and we don't carry powder because I don't have a place for a powder magazine. But yes, reloading has taken off massively in the last 18 months, 2 years, with ammo shortages. People realized, well, I could try to make it. And reloading, I tell people if they want to get into reloading, it's pretty simple. If you are a detail oriented person, it will probably be great for you, okay? If you're, that looks okay, or, that looks like it could be all right, not really detail-oriented, that could be dangerous for you. So if you're wanting to get into it, the initial investment in the reloading equipment is a pretty sliding scale. You can get a very basic set, or you can get more of an automated setup.
Right.
But making the ammo and doing that, and I tell people this, yes, it is. If you discount the cost of your equipment, you just buy it and don't even think about that. When you look at your component cost, yes, it can be cheaper to reload. But you also have your time. So a lot of people, they barely have the time to get out and shoot and enjoy the weapon. Well, if you don't have time to do that, you probably don't have time to reload.
That's
also
a good point. Yeah, so, and I heard there was a shortage on primers too right now. People are having trouble getting those. Yeah.
Yes, I mean the everything to do with ammunition. There's a shortage. There has been a shortage on. We're seeing it fill back in.
Yeah.
Primers
good.
Are a big. Are definitely a choke point on that. There's only certain manufacturers of primers in the world, and they weren't ready for the just straight line spike of how many people wanted that product immediately. And they were already they already had it turned up to 11. I mean, they're already making as much as they could. So we're seeing that fill in. Also, we can't just buy. See, in the United States, we have a Sammy spec and different things on ammo. So you just can't get a primer and bring it in and then have a U.S. based company start manufacturing with it. They have to prove it. They have to test it. They have to meet the quality and the QC and quality control guidelines. That's going to work in their ammo. It's not going to be it's not going to be problematic. It's not going to make something not do what it's supposed to do. So it takes a while to prove that out. One of my main vendors, Sig Sauer, they are opening. They already have an ammo plant, but they're actually making their own primers now.
Good.
They're building the plant to make their own primers here,
right?
Because they don't want that choke point in their ammo manufacturing.
Just like the chips for the cars too.
Yeah,
they're starting to do that in America. Before we let you go, Jess, I got to ask you about trigger discipline. I sent you a photo over the weekend that was sent to me, and it's not a one-off photo. This is, you watch any video of the Taliban right now, you're seeing this, whether they're at the Afghan president's desk and they're standing there with their firearms. You're seeing an extended index finger. That's called trigger discipline.
Correct.
Go ahead.
No. And also weapons placement. A very good friend of mine served in the military, in some different groups. He was the real deal. Actually commented about that. I was in the shop and commented to me about it. And he was on the ANA, Afghan, National Army, and other groups that we've trained over there to try to, basically say, hey, you need to govern your, you need to police your own country.
Right.
They drill that into them, and I mean, it's not like, hey, hold your gun right. They, and this is word for word, they'll take that gun and smack it into their chest. So if you see people in these different videos and stuff we're seeing coming out of Afghanistan, if the muzzle is up, apparently, and they're kind of holding their gun, it's a very aggressive position towards you. Muzzle down with your finger off the trigger, obviously. That is how they teach them, because it's a less aggressive stance.
Sure.
And that's how they're beaten. I mean, it's literally that beaten into them.
Right.
Is don't muzzle sweep anybody, muzzle down, finger discipline, because they run, they're as they've apparently gone for a century, however long, they've done this, it's muzzle up, finger on the trigger, and walking around in a completely undisciplined setting. But yeah, he pointed that out. And then that picture that you sent me, and a lot of people have seen it with them circled, those people were trained by either a coalition, U.S. military coalition forces somewhere that that is not a normal position for them. That was a discipline beat into them by apparently U.S. military coalition.
By excessive training. Jess, I'm glad you pointed that out. I just wanted to talk about that fact a little bit as we continue to watch footage from Afghanistan for Americans to look at and go, okay, who is the Taliban? Who trained the Taliban? And unfortunately, it looks like, you'll see it for yourself. Let's just say it that. Yeah. But Jess, thanks for joining us from Razorback Armory. Good guy, smart guy, and go in and meet him and you'll get more of what we just talked about here.
Yep, good stuff. Jess, thank you for that. Hey, coming up, we've talked a lot about the Second Amendment Preservation Act. Now there are legislators talking about tweaking it. Others have filed suit against it in Missouri. We're going to talk to Patrick Holland from the Truth, Money, and Freedom podcast when we come back.
Work hard here at Second Amendment Radio for the ambiance of the show and for this segment. Now, coming up on the program, we are still going to talk the SAPA bill. Patrick Holland from Truth, Money, and Freedom podcast. We're going to talk to him about the headlines that we're all seeing about is the SAPA bill in danger of being changed or canceled or modified or whatever. We'll get that information coming up. But, you know, last week we talked some about hiking outdoors. And, Mark, I got to tell you, it's just, you can't even breathe when you step outside.
Oh, yeah.
We left dinner last night with some friends, and it was about 8:30, 9 o'clock, and the oppressive heat and humidity just takes it away. But as soon as our friend said, you know, it's like we're in Florida, I felt so much better. I'm like, yeah.
You thought you were on a beach. You went to the beach, didn't you?
Yeah, I couldn't smell the beach. But it changed my mindset that quickly. It's like, yeah, this is what Florida feels
it's just
like.
Pretty awesome, mm-hmm. You know. But there are those people, and I'm always so impressed by them who seem unfazed by this stuff. I'll be driving home, air conditioner cranked up, and I'll see somebody jogging up a hill in 100-degree weather, and I think to myself, "Who are you? Like, how does this not impact you?" I can remember specifically because you know my show starts at 5 a.m, and I get up. And I leave for work 3:45, something like that, 10 till 4. I'm driving up a dark street to get up to Clarkson Road to get to the highway, to get to work. And all of a sudden, I think I see an animal ahead of me. This is back in the winter. It is -2 degrees on my mirror, right? There was a dude jogging in shorts. Tennis shoes and a hoodie.
Was it John Hewlett?
I have no. It could have been. He had a hoodie on.
Or was it that guy from Dual Survival? Have you seen this guy with the pigtails and no shoes on?
It was 2 degrees outside. And again, just like the guy in the 100-degree weather, I'm thinking to myself, who are you? I mean, are you just into extreme sports? Or are you trying to prove something? Or are you addicted to the...
He's got a schedule, Mark.
Endorphins? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, he's also doing a morning show. It's that early in the morning.
Not me.
Well, you know, remember 3 weeks ago, we were like, it doesn't feel like August. But this week, it feels like August.
And four months from now, it'll be Christmas. Yeah,
can you believe that?
Okay. Well, you know, I started the segment with Hole in the World by Eagles.
Yeah, we're gonna go there because it's nice and cool in the beautiful caves of Missouri.
And Illinois.
There's some very unique ones, and I sent you guys a screenshot of a link just because I love going into caves. But I do want to point out about people that run in extreme temperatures like that. There's also the people in the gym that wear the oxygen restriction things to limit, I don't know what they call it. I've seen it. Like, not just masks that we're wearing for COVID, but they'll do it intentionally because they're like trying to train for hiking 14ers in Colorado or, you know, climbing Kilimanjaro or something like that. It's to restrict their oxygen level. I'm like, dude,
It's a waste of your time.
Have a Snickers and chill out. Drink a bottle of water.
Let me tell you what. I go home in the evenings. I drink a beer. Maybe I drink two. Depends on the weekends.
Or
I might
scotch.
Drink more. I'm just pointing out. A little bourbon, whatever the case may be.
A little cigar?
Occasionally. I was, I reasonably work out two, three days a week. I mean, I work out, go to the gym, build up some cardio, all that. I went to Glacier National Park, and I hiked about a 12-mile hike. We started at probably 6,500 or 7,000 feet, and probably went up 2,000 in elevation.
Wow.
I do not need an oxygen restrictor at the gym. I survived that just fine. My legs were tired. I huffed and puffed a little bit, but I made it. You can make it too.
Okay. I know that the weather is supposed to break over the weekend. We'll probably have storms roll through, but as we were preparing for this show, I got to thinking about Merrimack Caverns. That's like that's the only one I've actually been in Missouri.
Right.
I've been to Minnesota Caverns, Wyoming underground tunnel things. And then if you go riding motorcycles in Illinois along the Bluff Road, there's these limestone holes that are blowing the ice cold air out of it. So when you when you hit it on a day like we've had recently, it's like free air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
But are you a cave guy? Do you like that
kind of
stuff?
I've been in a few of them. There's one at Beaumont Boy Scout camp down there off 44.
Oh, okay.
When my kid was growing up, and we would go down there and camp all the time for scouts. He's now an Eagle Scout. I'll brag about that.
Nice.
Proud father of an Eagle Scout. They have Mud Cave down there, which anybody who's been involved in scouting at Beaumont has probably been in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they monitor it very closely. They leave it locked most of the time. You can't just go down there and go in.
Sure.
But when the camps are open, they plan excursions into it. You don't go deep into it. Maybe some of the older scouts do. But I've been in there a few times. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean, I've enjoyed it.
There was even a cave house that was for sale down near Herculaneum a few years ago.
You got to go to the
Onondaga.
No, what's my name? Why
Crystal
am I?
City Underground.
The one underneath the amusement park in Branson.
What?
Have you been
Silver
there?
Silver Dollar City?
Silver Dollar City.
There's a cave
under the front entrance to
really?
There. And when you go in where you'd get your tickets to go into, you can buy a ticket to take a tour of that cave. It's really cool. You got to go down there sometime.
No, I had no idea. Just listing off a couple that are around this area, Marvel Cave. Fantastic Caverns. Merrimack Caverns, number 3 on this list. Mark Twain Cave and Cameron Cave. Talking Rocks Cavern. I enjoy going in there because, again, it's you know, controlled temperature. Jesse James hit out. They got the little setup in there.
67 degrees year-round.
Yeah, or I think it may be cooler than that, okay. Actually. I actually live in an earth home. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay, so...
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm on my roof.
Nice.
I do. And
he lives in the crater.
It's not quite as cool as a cave, but it is way easier to heat and cool, and it's because it's all concrete and steel. I'm surprised they didn't take off anymore, but we've been in this house 16 years now, and it's been absolutely...
So I'm envisioning like in the old Batman series where they fly out of the Bat Cave. Like, do you have one of those...
Similar,
that the Batmobile, the Bowmobile,
Bowfoot back in the day, right? No, it's similar but different. There's no moat, as we have joked about on this program before. But I just wanted to mention to investigate some of these cool caves that are in our area, and a lot of them are gas tank fuel away. I mean, mm-hmm. You can go and do it. In Illinois, though, there's a bunch as well. So don't ignore Illinois for their caves, because a lot of cool stuff.
Waterloo has a good one.
Yeah, Monroe County. I think, you know, it's just something different, especially you get through a week like this heat and you start thinking, okay, caving. Where can I go?
Yep, and be careful. Be careful when you go
course,
in there.
Of course.
I have a nephew that went in a mud cave out there at Beaumont, and bats flew over their head.
Yeah,
defecated on them. So you got to be careful. You got to watch when you go.
If you're claustrophobic,
right?
You really have to pay attention.
Speaking of Batman.
Yeah. Claustrophobia, I mean, there's some places, even in Merrimack Caverns.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I'm a big dude. I got to shimmy through.
Yeah, but they also have the big spaces where they have the weddings, and then they have the little spaces where...
Yeah.
You should not go.
A buddy of mine owns property, Mark, that he has the deepest cave on record by these spelunkers that go in and measure. It's on his property. But it's not a cave you walk into. You have to drop down into.
Yeah. Which means you have to be able to crawl back out of at some point.
You got to rappel up?
Yeah.
No, rappel's down, isn't it? What's the opposite of rappel? Climb? I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know. I've seen Batman do it. I don't know if I could do it.
I hated climbing the rope in gym. I don't know about you. But anyway, check out caves to stay cool. Just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Ascend, climb, scale, soar, rise, mount, lift.
Fly out of there if you can.
Up thrust.
That'd be good.
Fly. Outstanding. Hey, by the way, coming up, just in case you are into the shooting sports, which if you're listening to Second Amendment Radio, I would assume that there's a chance of that, right? These are there are things you need to know about some changes to the trade rules that the Biden administration's put in place. Little update here on what's going on with SAPA, the Second Amendment Preservation Act, and some stories out there of some folks that want to go in and tweak it. Coming up in the next legislative session, maybe some lawsuits that are pending. We'll talk to Patrick Holland when we come back. Hopefully you found a way to beat the heat this weekend. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors.
And this segment brought to you by Chuck's Boots stores in Fenton and St. Peter's. You can now shop online, which actually is a new thing for Chuck's Boots. They've come into 2021. Chuck'sBoots.com shipping is free over $99, which is easy to do when you shop at Chuck's Boots. But while you're at their website or their Facebook page, get registered to win the Thorogood Chuck's Boots Polaris 1000 General. Go to Chuck'sBoots.com when you go shop and tell them Bo sent you. All right, this segment we want to talk about how they are slicing and dicing up the SAPA law. We've got Patrick Holland from Truth, Money, and Freedom Podcast. And Patrick, great to have you on again. Let's talk about where our concerns should be. What are we trying to get changed, or what are they trying to get changed in this institution of where we are now?
Well, first of all, good morning, Bo Matthews. Thanks very much for having me back. Yeah, there's been some developments with SAPA, but it's right now, I don't want to make it sound like I need to downplay this, but I'm not really concerned, because what they're doing is something that we predicted. And what they're doing is the Department of Justice, of course, has sided with the anti-gun people, which we shouldn't have been surprised by. But the clause they're using to say what we did in Missouri with our Second Amendment Preservation Act is called the Supremacy Clause. It's in the United States Constitution. But it applies only to U.S. law. It does not apply to any of our 10 amendments. Now, the source of the problem, of course, is coming from St. Louis. I believe that's your neck of the woods. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So we have St. Louis County and the city of St. Louis saying that basically there's technical problems with the law. The title of the bill, which is now law, you know, wasn't inclusive enough. It had to have more descriptions in it. I mean, they're going after stuff like that now. But the main thing they are using is United States Supremacy Clause, which simply doesn't apply. Now, I'll remind everyone who's listening in now, the way this got done in the state of Missouri is literally called anti-commandeering doctrine. It's the same doctrine that states like California used to actually make what we call sanctuary cities, where they can have illegals, you know, basically not go through the process and have, you know, safe haven within those cities. And also states that have made marijuana legal. Because remember now, the federal government says, you know, marijuana is still illegal. But there's lots of states that say, yes, it is. It is legal in our state. And the federal government doesn't come down on them and use supremacy clause. They don't go down on the sanctuary cities saying, you know, supremacy clause. But they are coming down on us here in Missouri over the Second Amendment Preservation Act, citing supremacy clause, which is what we predicted.
Yeah. Patrick, Mark Cox here. Great to talk to you. You know, my observation on this here in the greater St. Louis area is that I've got a lot of friends in law enforcement who I have the utmost respect for. The stories that the Post Disgrace has been doing on this primarily focus on the fact that members of law enforcement feel like they can't do their jobs out of fear that there'll be some retribution under this act, which was never the intention of the act. And they also tried to point out that 12 out of like 54 or 55 officers who'd been deputized federally had to back out of that program because out of fear that they were somehow violating this law. Here's my contention. A lot of police chiefs in these big cities might have been officers for years, but ultimately they are now in a politically appointed position, and they do the bidding of whichever mayor or county executive appointed them. And I believe their opposition to this is fueled by politics as opposed to the real impact that SAP is having on law enforcement.
I would agree with that. And by the way, I have the utmost respect for law enforcement in the state of Missouri as well. These guys do and girls do a great job. So let's, you know, get that out of the way first. The confusion, you know, basically is null and void, though. I mean, it's literally you don't enforce federal law anymore. You only enforce state law as far as firearms are concerned. And our firearm laws currently in the state of Missouri are virtually a mirror image of federal law. Now, that will probably start changing over time now. We'll probably start ejecting certain things like noise suppressors. We'll probably make those legal in Missouri without a tax stamp. That's just an example. But as far as people resigning positions, we'll talk about that real quick here, because the main resignations are people in law enforcement in the state of Missouri that are also dual agents. They're also ATF. Since they're ATF, they work for the Fed. And they've had to resign their ATF positions and leave their detachment, you know, to the ATF and come back to the law enforcement agency they originally worked for, which was Missouri-based. And as far as people being concerned about, you know, the legalese of this and whether or not they're going to get sued is just purely nonsense, because there's not enough of a change yet to even be concerned about that. That will probably happen during the 2022 legislative session is where we'll probably start refining our laws.
Yeah, interesting. I'm anxious to see what those changes will be.
The noise suppressor is the only thing I know I think is going to go through. I've heard some whispers on that.
It's interesting, Patrick, and I really appreciate you joining us on the program. But the marijuana analogy is fantastic. It really does make sense, because so many people support that, but they don't do this. But what really shocked me was the headlines. Yahoo News: how Missouri's absurd new gun law hurts police departments and shooting victims. DOJ from the Missouri Times: asked court to block plainly unconstitutional SAPA. Is the controversial Missouri gun law constitutional? A judge will soon decide. All these things, these headlines, are pumped into people. It was pumped into me, and I was like, uh-oh, we got to call shenanigans on this right now. Malarkey, as the sitting president says. But what amazes me is you anticipated this. You started off the conversation with us saying you, along with the supporters of the Second Amendment, anticipated this, and so did you already start to plan ahead?
That's correct. The way the actual legislation was crafted is brilliant. There is nothing they can do on the side they're using to attack it right now. The only thing that the other side can actually hope for is an unconstitutional judge that will make a ruling that is not based in the Constitution. That's the best they can hope for on the other side with the plan of attack they have right now. I'm telling you, actually, you know, Michael Bolden with the 10th Amendment Center even warned us, you know, back in 2015 when we started the process with SAPA, that's exactly how the federal government will come at us if we get it through, is they'll say supremacy clause. The United States government will cite the supremacy clause in the U.S. Constitution, but it doesn't apply to the 10 amendments. It doesn't apply. It applies to the limitations on federal government, not on limitations on the people, the freedoms of the people.
Yeah.
Applies to the Constitution only.
We see it far too often, though, Patrick, and you're absolutely right. They'll judge shop. They'll look for. I'm not sure where they would challenge us. Would it be in the Eastern District of Missouri, or would they have to challenge in Kansas City somewhere since it came out of Jeff City?
Well, I think right now they've had their sights literally on it, just doing it in Jefferson City,
okay.
The quote unquote source of the problem. Now we can speculate if they fail there. They will probably take it to the Missouri Supreme Court. If they fail there, if they really want to take it, they could take it to the Supreme Court. But the fact is, they better come up with something better than supremacy clause, because we saw that a mile away.
Right, right. And, you know,
and that's, go ahead.
Can we agree that that anybody that supports the Second Amendment do not want to hurt police departments and shooting victims? To me, that's an absurd headline that they would even put
that
out there. Patrick, what can the gun supporters, Second Amendment supporters, what can we do individually that can help this process? Because in the run-up to putting the letter on the governor's desk, a lot of people were making phone calls. They were calling their congressmen, congresswomen, their political leaders. What do we do now to help the cause?
Well, actually, it's out of our purview generally now because it's in the court system.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm going to let you guys know something here real quick. It's kind of important. I've started an organization called the Missouri Liberty Alliance, and it takes too long to explain the main goal of it, but I encourage people to go to the MissouriLibertyAlliance.com. A little bit more about us. We are currently working on our website this week, so it'll look a lot prettier at the end of the week.
Okay.
But to find out more about what we're doing, but protecting SAPA is something that we are, probably going to be chartered with. But as far as helping the cause goes, our bill is well crafted. Actually, I stand here honestly telling you I am not worried about the current threat against SAPA. And it's just because, like I said, we saw the federal government attacking with supremacy clause, so we're already in the clear on that. We crafted the bill for this. But what people can do, and this is really, really important, Missouri does not need to be the only state in the union that has this. We need other states to actually do this, too. There's power in numbers. This is actually nullification of federal government overreach. We don't want the Fed coming in and literally enforcing unconstitutional laws in the state of Missouri. And that's what the Second Amendment Preservation Act was really all about, although it was tailored just to, gun laws.
Yeah.
But
no.
So other states got, okay, this is the really important part that we probably never talked about. 9 other states got the Second Amendment Preservation Act passed, or some variation of it, passed in their states this year. We are the only state that had broad ramifications to those who would break the law in our bill that got through all the way through the legislative process signed by the governor. All the other states lost their teeth in their bills in their final negotiations. So we are very different from all other 50 states in this regard. We actually got the Fed out, basically. And by the way, the Fed can still come into Missouri and enforce their unconstitutional laws. But 2 things. Number 1, they won't get help from the state of Missouri in any way, shape, or form. Number 2, if someone in Missouri does help them, $50,000 fine to that agency.
Wow.
So we actually have ramifications. Other states didn't. We need other states with ramifications in their SAPA, SAPA legislation.
We look forward to finding out more about the Missouri Liberty Alliance. Anytime you tell me that your mission is making Missouri a bastion for freedom, you've got me on board right there. I love that. That's fantastic.
Hey, all right. Wonderful, man. We're looking to grow this organization and with basically keeping the freedoms of the people in mind, and we're talking about the freedoms afforded by the 10 amendments. The Constitution literally is not really for us. It's for the government. It's literally set up so the government knows where to stop, where its authority stops.
It's like any contract, Patrick. Any contract is to protect the company, not the employee. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Bo, that's a beautiful way of putting it. That's the contract right there. But unfortunately, the government takes its liberties with our liberties all the time.
Where can people go to find out more about your Truth, Money, and Freedom podcast?
Sure. We're on YouTube. So the Truth, Money, and Freedom podcast is always on YouTube. I'm running both channels right now, and Missouri Liberty Alliance is also on YouTube, but we're also on many, many other social media platforms with the Missouri Liberty Alliance. We're forming partnerships with freedom-loving organizations all throughout the state of Missouri. It's a very exciting project, and the concept is to bring all of these freedom-loving organizations, groups, what have you, all together for the purpose of getting good legislation done in the state of Missouri and making sure unconstitutional laws never, ever pass in this state ever again.
Amen. Well done. Patrick Holland, the Truth, Money, Freedom podcast and the Missouri Liberty Alliance. Thanks for your time.
You bet. Thank you, guys. I love you guys. And thank you once again for helping spread the word about SAPA. You guys are just wonderful. You're awesome. Thank you.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
I just want to add that you do not have to be a gun owner to support the Second Amendment or what's going on with this. Just educate yourself like we all need to do more of. Great
Absolutely.
Show, though.
Yeah, you bet. Good stuff.
Great point, Paul.
Yep. All right, Patrick, thank you very much. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Another great segment here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Yeah, for Mark Cox, I'm Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
Yeah, there it is. Thanks for listening. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Well, hopefully you found a way to beat the heat this weekend. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
And this segment brought to you by Chuck's Boots stores in Fenton and St. Peter's. You can now shop online, which actually is a new thing for Chuck's Boots. They've come into 2021. Chuck'sBoots.com shipping is free over $99, which is easy to do when you shop at Chuck's Boots. But while you're at their website or their Facebook page, get registered to win the Thorogood Chuck's Boots Polaris 1000 General. Go to Chuck'sBoots.com when you go shop and tell them Bo sent you. All right, this segment we want to talk about how they are slicing and dicing up the SAPA law. We've got Patrick Holland from Truth, Money, and Freedom podcast. And Patrick, great to have you on again. Let's talk about where our concerns should be. What are we trying to get changed, or what are they trying to get changed in this institution of where we are now?
Well, first of all, good morning, Bo Matthews. Thanks very much for having me back. Yeah, there's been some developments with SAPA, but it's right now, I don't want to make it sound like I need to downplay this, but I'm not really concerned, because what they're doing is something that we predicted. And what they're doing is the Department of Justice, of course, has sided with the anti-gun people, which we shouldn't have been surprised by. But the clause they're using to say what we did in Missouri with our Second Amendment Preservation Act is called the Supremacy Clause. It's in the United States Constitution. But it applies only to U.S. law. It does not apply to any of our 10 amendments. Now, the source of the problem, of course, is coming from St. Louis. I believe that's your neck of the woods. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So we have St. Louis County and the city of St. Louis saying that there's technical problems with the law. The title of the bill, which is now law, you know, wasn't inclusive enough. It had to have more descriptions in it. I mean, they're going after stuff like that now. But the main thing they are using is United States Supremacy Clause, which simply doesn't apply. Now, I'll remind everyone who's listening in now, the way this got done in the state of Missouri is literally called anti-commandeering doctrine. It's the same doctrine that states like California used to actually make what we call sanctuary cities, where they can have illegals, you know, basically not go through the process and have, you know, safe haven within those cities. And also states that have made marijuana legal. Because remember now, the federal government says, you know, marijuana is still illegal. But there's lots of states that say, yes, it is. It is legal in our state. And the federal government doesn't come down on them and use supremacy clause. They don't go down on sanctuary cities saying, you know, supremacy clause. But they are coming down on us here in Missouri over the Second Amendment Preservation Act, citing supremacy clause, which is what we predicted.
Yeah. Patrick, Mark Cox here. Great to talk to you. You know, my observation on this here in the greater St. Louis area is that I've got a lot of friends in law enforcement who I have the utmost respect for. The stories that the Post Disgrace has been doing on this primarily focus on the fact that members of law enforcement feel like they can't do their jobs out of fear that there'll be some retribution under this act, which was never the intention of the act. And they also tried to point out that 12 out of like 54 or 55 officers who'd been deputized federally had to back out of that program because out of fear that they were somehow violating this law. Here's my contention. A lot of police chiefs in these big cities might have been officers for years, but ultimately they are now in a politically appointed position, and they do the bidding of whichever mayor or county executive appointed them. And I believe their opposition to this is fueled by politics as opposed to the real impact that SAP is having on law enforcement.
I would agree with that. And by the way, I have the utmost respect for law enforcement in the state of Missouri as well. These guys do, and girls do, a great job. So let's, you know, get that out of the way first. The confusion, basically is null and void, though. I mean, it's literally, you don't enforce federal law anymore. You only enforce state law as far as firearms are concerned. And our firearm laws currently in the state of Missouri are virtually a mirror image of federal law. Now, that will probably start changing over time now. We'll probably start ejecting certain things like noise suppressors. We'll probably make those legal in Missouri without a tax stamp. That's just an example. But as far as people resigning positions, we'll talk about that real quick here, because the main resignations are people in law enforcement in the state of Missouri that are also dual agents. They're also ATF. Since they're ATF, they work for the Fed. And they've had to resign their ATF positions and leave their detachment, to the ATF and come back to the law enforcement agency they originally worked for, which was Missouri-based. And as far as people being concerned about, the legalese of this and whether or not they're going to get sued is just purely nonsense, because there's not enough of a change yet to even be concerned about that. That will probably happen during the 2022 legislative session is where we'll probably start refining our laws.
Yeah, interesting. I'm anxious to see what those changes will be.
The noise suppressor is the only thing I know I think is going to go through. I've heard some whispers on that.
It's interesting, Patrick, and I really appreciate you joining us on the program. But the marijuana analogy is fantastic. It really does make sense, because so many people support that, but they don't do this. But what really shocked me was the headlines. Yahoo News: how Missouri's absurd new gun law hurts police departments and shooting victims. DOJ from the Missouri Times asked court to block plainly unconstitutional SAPA. Is the controversial Missouri gun law constitutional? A judge will soon decide. All these things, these headlines, are pumped into people. It was pumped into me, and I was like, uh-oh, we got to call shenanigans on this right now. Malarkey, as the sitting president says. But what amazes me is you anticipated this. You started off the conversation with us saying you, along with the supporters of the Second Amendment, anticipated this. And so did you already start to plan ahead?
That's correct. The way the actual legislation was crafted is brilliant. There is nothing they can do on the side they're using to attack it right now. The only thing that the other side can actually hope for is an unconstitutional judge that will make a ruling that is not based in the Constitution. That's the best they can hope for on the other side with the plan of attack they have right now. I'm telling you, actually, Michael Bolden with the 10th Amendment Center even warned us, back in 2015 when we started the process with SAPA, that's exactly how the federal government will come at us if we get it through, is they'll say Supremacy Clause. The United States government will cite the Supremacy Clause in the U.S. Constitution, but it doesn't apply to the 10 amendments. It doesn't apply. It applies to the limitations on federal government, not on limitations on the people, the freedoms of the people.
Yeah.
Applies to the Constitution only.
We see it far too often, though, Patrick, and you're absolutely right. They'll judge shop. They'll look for. I'm not sure where they would challenge this. Would it be in the Eastern District of Missouri, or would they have to challenge in Kansas City somewhere since it came out of Jeff City?
Well, I think right now they've had their sights literally on it, just doing it in Jefferson City,
okay.
The quote-unquote
right.
source of the problem. Now, we can speculate if they fail there. They will probably take it to the Missouri Supreme Court. If they fail there, if they really want to take it, they could take it to the Supreme Court. But the fact is, they better come up with something better than supremacy clause, because we saw that a mile away.
Right, right. And, you know,
and that's, go ahead.
Can we agree that that anybody that supports the Second Amendment do not want to hurt police departments and shooting victims? To me, that's an absurd headline that they would even put out there. Patrick, what can the gun supporters, Second Amendment supporters, what can we do individually that can help this process? Because in the run-up to putting the letter on the governor's desk, a lot of people were making phone calls. They were calling their congressmen, congresswomen, their political leaders. What do we do now to help the cause?
Well, actually, it's out of our purview generally now because it's in the court system.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm going to let you guys know something here real quick. It's kind of important. I've started an organization called the Missouri Liberty Alliance, and it takes too long to explain the main goal of it, but I encourage people to go to the MissouriLibertyAlliance.com. A little bit more about us. We are currently working on our website this week, so it'll look a lot prettier at the end of the week.
Okay.
But to find out more about what we're doing, but protecting SAFA is something that we are, probably going to be chartered with. But as far as helping the cause goes, our bill is well crafted. Actually, I stand here honestly telling you I am not worried about the current threat against SAFA. And it's just because, like I said, we saw the federal government attacking the supremacy clause, so we're already in the clear on that. We crafted the bill for this. But what people can do, and this is really, really important, Missouri does not need to be the only state in the union that has this. We need other states to actually do this, too. There's power in numbers. This is actually nullification of federal government overreach. We don't want the Fed coming in and literally enforcing unconstitutional laws in the state of Missouri. And that's what the Second Amendment Preservation Act was really all about, although it was tailored just to, gun laws.
Yeah.
But
no.
So other states got, okay, this is the really important part that we probably never talked about. 9 other states got the Second Amendment Preservation Act passed, or some variation of it, passed in their states this year. We are the only state that had broad ramifications to those who would break the law in our bill that got through all the way through the legislative process signed by the governor. All the other states lost their teeth in their bills in their final negotiations. So we are very different from all other 50 states in this regard. We actually got the Fed out, basically. And by the way, the Fed can still come into Missouri and enforce their unconstitutional laws. But 2 things. Number 1, they won't get help from the state of Missouri in any way, shape, or form. Number 2, if someone in Missouri does help them, $50,000 fine to that agency.
Wow.
So we actually have ramifications. Other states didn't. We need other states with ramifications in their SAPA, SAPA legislation.
We look forward to finding out more about the Missouri Liberty Alliance. Anytime you tell me that your mission is making Missouri a bastion for freedom, you've got me on board right there. I love that. That's fantastic.
Hey, all right. Wonderful, man. We're looking to grow this organization and with basically keeping the freedoms of the people in mind, and we're talking about the freedoms afforded by the 10 amendments. The Constitution literally is not really for us. It's for the government. It's literally set up so the government knows where to stop, where its authority stops.
It's like any contract, Patrick. Any contract is to protect the company, not the employee. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Bo, that's a beautiful way of putting it. That's the contract right there. But unfortunately, the government takes its liberties with our liberties all the time.
Where can people go to find out more about your Truth, Money, and Freedom podcast?
Sure. We're on YouTube. So the Truth, Money, and Freedom podcast is always on YouTube. I'm running both channels right now, and Missouri Liberty Alliance is also on YouTube, but we're also on many, many other social media platforms with the Missouri Liberty Alliance. We're forming partnerships with freedom-loving organizations all throughout the state of Missouri. It's a very exciting project, and the concept is to bring all of these freedom-loving organizations, groups, what have you, all together for the purpose of getting good legislation done in the state of Missouri and making sure unconstitutional laws never, ever pass in this state ever again.
Amen. Well done. Patrick Holland, the Truth, Money, Freedom podcast and the Missouri Liberty Alliance. Thanks for your time.
You bet. Thank you, guys. I love you guys. And thank you once again for helping spread the word about SAPA. You guys are just wonderful. You're awesome. Thank you.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
I just want to add that you do not have to be a gun owner to support the Second Amendment or what's going on with this. Just educate yourself like we all need to do more of. Great
Absolutely.
Show, though.
Yeah, you bet. Good stuff.
Great point, Paul.
Yep. All right, Patrick, thank you very much. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Another great segment here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Yeah, for Mark Cox, I'm Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
Yeah, there it is. Thanks for listening. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.